here in Fringe Central, still in what's called week zero of the Fringe, and I'm doing a kind of a follow-up interview a couple of years after I last spoke to Richard Fry, who's bringing a show called Richard Fry Pop Life to the Gilded Balloon. Now, Richard, I've spoken to quite a few people over the years, performers who they've been in work, in plays, they've even written their own shows. At some point, the show distills itself into a solo show of some sort. And then even after that, on some, you know, very important topic, they just kind of decide to mine their own story and share that. And it nearly always involves pets. When pets, you know, cats and dogs, when's that moment coming in your life?
I love that. It's happened right now. The reason I'm here is because of a stray cat I was looking after. And it's a bizarre set of circumstances. But I previewed this new show in Camden about 2 months ago. And I wasn't planning to bring it to Edinburgh at all. What happened, I booked the theatre to have a whole day of rehearsals before I put the show on in Camden. And I had this stray cat in my house which went missing. I had to find it before I could leave the house. And what happened, it just set off an extraordinary chain of events. I ended up getting to the theatre about an hour before my first ever show. So I had to explain to the audience why the show was going to be so shambolic. And I told them the story of what happened to the stray cat. And it's just so weird and so funny that everybody afterwards is saying, oh my God, you have to make that part of the show. And so I have, and it kind of changed the show a lot. There's kind of almost a journey, if you like, in the show, down to this random event of a stray cat escaping my charge. And I do truly believe, Paul, that if that stray cat did not escape through my toilet window 2 months ago, I wouldn't be in Edinburgh now, because it really did evolve the show into something quite different. Yeah.
Now, and the subtitle on your Pop Life is Stories from the B-Side of Pop. And let's just play with that metaphor, because, you know, how many people, even I remember as a child, we actually had 45s then, you know, bought them and discovered they preferred the B-Side. The B-Side was a better song than the A-Side. And already from that example, there's something of truth in that, isn't there?
Absolutely. Do you know what, actually, you just made something occur to me. There's probably some of the younger people that are coming to this show probably don't know what a B-Side is.
Yeah. Turn your CD over, yeah.
Yeah, how strange. No, absolutely. And I think some of the... I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head. But wasn't like Strawberry Fields Forever actually a B-Side? And I think the last time by the Rolling Stones, I think they were... I think Madonna had a big hit as well, which was initially a B-Side, and then it crossed over. Yeah, I think if you get those good artists, it's like, you know, you get good albums and there is just no filler on them. If you get a really, really good band, they don't release duff tracks, and of course something's got to go on the B-side. And then of course you get the music industry fodder, and on the B-side they'll have an instrumental or something. But actually, very recently, I mean, I really love No Doubt, you know, the American band, and they released an album for all their nerdy fans, and it was all the B-sides, unreleased album tracks or bonus tracks, and every single song on there is amazing. And you think actually their collection of B-sides is actually a damn sight better than a lot of bands' greatest hits. So I kind of, you know, bands like the B-52s and stuff, and when you tell people you like the B-52s, they go, oh, Love Shack's a great record. And you're just like, well, it is, but it's the most overplayed record. If you delve into their back catalogue, there are just some fantastic tracks there. It's just this thing when bands... Well, No Doubt, for example, people will know them for Don't Speak, which actually isn't necessarily representative of their output. It's much more punk and ska-based, and that's effectively a ballad. But, yeah, so I guess as a music fan, I do look beyond the mainstream, if you like, and of course the stuff that hits the mainstream is the stuff which appeals to the widest audience, because it sells that much, which is why I think people like James Blunt and Dido sell millions of records. It's fine music, but it's not particularly exciting, if you know what I mean. But I think that's why things like X Factor are so phenomenally successful, because the music is secondary. I think they're looking to appeal to the widest market possible, because the music business is a business at the end of the day. They need to make money as well. And, you know, I kind of support that thinking, because if for every I don't know, I won't use Leona Lewis as an example because she is actually a fantastic vocalist, but maybe bands like Westlife, who are contrived and put together and the output is quite dull. But if they're selling millions and millions of records, that some of that money is going back into the industry, which can develop, hopefully, more talented and original new artists. That's what I like to think happens. But I've never bought a Westlife record, so...
Yeah. But you're also then pointing to the fact that, you know, a lot of people probably that have been groomed by the media to idolise the characters on the A side of life, that actually, you know... A lot of people see themselves as on the B side of life, but actually like your story of your cat. You know, you could have brought any show to the Fringe. There are so many scripts, there are so many things you could have written, and you've just decided to kind of, you know, go into something that's more personal to you.
That's really interesting, actually. I didn't actually make the connection between this show and my other shows. This was actually a deliberate diversion away from my previous work, Bully and the Unbeatable Hearts, which is about people on the B side of life. You see, now the thing is I, at the previews, I said to people, this is my happy show, this is just about the fun things I got up to working backstage at festivals. And after the previews, people were saying, some of your stories are really dark. And I just thought, no, they're my happy stories. And they're like, really, think about them, think about what you're saying. And I'm like, oh my God, no, they are dark. I think that's just the kind of person I am. So even though this is a diversion for me, but in fact, so if somebody like me who writes like me produces a what I think is a funny and a happy show, it's still going to have that element of darkness in it, I guess because of what happened, you know, my past and stuff. But I thought these were my happy stories, which they kind of are, but a lot of them are based around things that go wrong. You know, I guess what's a good mainstream example would be Miranda. You know how Miranda is just this lovable fool who always tries to do the right thing and then she ends up falling over kind of thing. I guess my stories are kind of like that, but different. Yeah.
So I'm putting on the table here some imaginary cards. One of them says actor. One of them says stand-up. One of them says storyteller. One of them says writer. And you have to pick them up in order, and they represent you. What order would you pick them up?
Why did you not put down a pop star?
Okay, card? You can have pop star as well. I'll let you have that. But pick them up in an order and tell me a bit about them.
Oh, my God. This is a really difficult one, because I tell you, one of the reasons I wanted to do a diversion this year is because I felt I hit a wall with what other people would term the more political pieces I was writing, the more acting-led pieces. Because with Pop Life, I get on stage as myself, whereas every other show I've done, I've been a character. And I kind of just felt they'd run their course. I'd done five. I'd taken them around the world. And I felt that I couldn't... there was no mileage in doing a sixth one. So the way I would... I mean, I still am essentially an actor, because I still get work acting. But then I just finished my first novel last year, which I loved writing, and it's getting really... I sell it through my website, it's getting really good responses, so I love writing. It's really difficult. I wished I could pick these cards up in order, because I tell you what, it would make things like booking my show into a Fringe. Because when you come to a Fringe, people want to know, is this theatre, is this comedy, is this music, is it cabaret? It's just like, well, it's kind of a little bit of all of that, really. And I find one of the most restricting things is to put yourself in that box and say, I'm an actor, I'm a comedian, I'm a singer. It would be a much better world if we could just... I know people think, oh, I fancy some comedy tonight, so they look in the comedy section. But, you know, there's quite a few people that just don't fit into any of them. And somebody said, well, you can go into the spoken word section. It's just kind of like, nobody looks at that. It's right at the back. So you kind of have to be theatre or comedy. And I'm really, with this new show is kind of bridging the gap. It's not kind of either or. But
I mean, the flyer, I mean, I think I get comedian with a bit of actor.
That's good. That's just exactly what I was going for. Yeah, and a bit of music as well.
So, script, a bit improvised, you know, just frame that for us.
Okay. A lot of them, I mean, everything in the show is stuff that's actually happened to me. So, to be honest, a lot of the stories I'm telling are the stories I would have pulled out at dinner parties and down the pub and stuff. So, I've had to think about them differently because I'm delivering them to an audience, but I kind of know what happens what was said, the structure of them. But it's also, obviously, when I go to a dinner party, I don't talk constantly about myself for an hour, because that would be very boring. But while I'm on a stage, that's exactly what I do. So it's just a way of fitting all of those things together in a cohesive piece. And I break it up with a bit of music. But, I can't say it's improvised, because it's based on stuff that has happened, so I know what's going to happen. But they're not scripted. Again, I'm not scripted, not improvised, not a writer, not a comedian. I don't know what I am, for, to be quite honest with you. I never have done. It's half my problem.
Well, but as a cat rescuer, this is a method acting thing I'm asking you to do now. How do you think your cat sees you?
Do you know, one thing I've learned is that I think cats, especially stray cats, see you as another cat. And that's how I kind of I don't get on all fours and meow or anything, but I'm absolutely certain stray cats who don't have very little concept of humans other than getting things thrown at them, they look to you for food and a bit of comfort and stuff. So when I got that in my head and I started behaving and mimicking what they do with their faces and their eyes and stuff, it doesn't take half as long now for me to befriend a stray cat. I love it. I promise you, it's the most important, most rewarding thing I've ever done. And until about 2 years ago, I had a cat when I was growing up, but he was quite aggressive, so I didn't have that lovey cat relationship. And then I just fell into this about 2 years ago, and I am the maddest cat person now. I just get them, they get me. And look, if I never have done that, I wouldn't have had this show. It's just quite extraordinary. And that's just one of them. I've had, in the last year and a half, I've rehomed about 24 damaged little pussies. Yeah. So, and I will continue to do it for as long as I can. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And, well, you're talking to somebody who, and this is 100% true, Skyped his cat last night. I mean, with a bit of help at the other end, but we were talking. It's the only way I can do Edinburgh. Last question is then, so here, this is the diversion. Yeah. Is it a total diversion, or are you already cooking up when you divert back?
Do you know, I kind of, as well, I mean, you know that my previous shows were quite intense. I mean, they were about suicide, domestic violence, drink driving. To be honest as well, this is such a welcome relief, because I would write them and I would perform them and I'd have to get into that state of mind myself. And I honestly think that five of them was kind of enough. Right. And half that, and it started to affect me, you know, afterwards. And so I said I'd take some time off, and do you know what I did in that year off? I wrote a book about suicide. I didn't quite get it, but now it's kind of all completely got it all out of my system, and I said everything I wanted to say. I don't get me wrong, I still love those shows, especially Bully, Smiler and Unbeatable Hearts. They really, and people still ask me about them. I still get emails about them, and I'm never going to say that I'm not going to perform them again. Maybe I'll give them to somebody else to do, I don't know. But Unbeatable Hearts especially really did strike a chord with a lot of people.
So is this going to leave you potentially creatively lost in a good way?
Do you know, it's kind of, it just gives me a different perspective on life. And the thing that I've loved about pop life is actually, I've always had the three or four major stories in it are the ones I always told. Actually reminded me about some other funny things that had happened, and it was just fun to kind of go over them and remember them and think, great, I actually, because some of the other shows are based on my life, like the worst parts of it, so actually now I'm getting on stage and telling people about the best parts of it and watching them laugh and stuff. And yeah, I kind of, it's a good diversion, and it's one that I will definitely continue. I want to be happy from now on, come on. I don't want to go into my old age being miserable. I've got cats, I'm happy, so yeah.
Richard Rice, seeking happiness at the Fringe. Thanks very much.
Thank you.